heading is taken from Samuel, the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." But he said, "I didn't call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord again called, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 1, reading from verse 35. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaims, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses wrote in the law, and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you come to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. Quite often we can settle down to pray with really good intentions in our minds, but there are so many calls upon us, so many distractions and obstacles. Calls to say hello to someone, cries for help, people calling to ask for something, people calling to pay for something. And then there's those calls upon our time and our attention, which can just simply drain and make us feel overwhelmed sometimes. And those sorts of things aren't new to us in our modern 24-hour on-call world, it seems as though we're living in most of the time. Look at what happened with the call of Samuel, who would become one of the great priests of God. In the time of Eli, worship in the temple had become corrupt. Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt, if you read Samuel chapter 2. Eli himself was getting old, he was frail, he was almost blind. And maybe his poor eyesight could be a symbol of his poor insight. Insight into his two sons' appalling behavior, and more importantly, into God's words. Eli struggles both to see and to hear. And it's even written, the word of the Lord was rare. And in our gospel reading, Nathanael is cynical about Philip's excited call that we have found the one that Moses wrote about. How can any good come out of a little place called Nazareth in the middle of nowhere? But let's give thanks to God for persistence. For God's insistent call is not going to be silenced by any of our failings and failures. God will continue to call us even when we're cynical, even when we're feeling full of doubt, even when we're feeling that we can't respond to God's call or we're not even worthy enough to do so. God can call into our lives, and God will call in all kinds of ways. Samuel, who didn't yet know the Lord, was sensitive to the voice which called him. He, of course, didn't know who it was at first, but he was eager and he was ready to follow. Eli was even able to guide Samuel to the beginning of that new relationship with God. And Philip is not deterred by Nathanael's cynicism, but he simply says, come and see. It's an invitation just to come forward and to look, to see, to hear, to feel, to experience. And God's desire for us is working in partnership with our humanity. God wants us to share the exciting, life-changing, even world-changing news of his love for us. And Nathanael is amazed that Jesus saw him before he, Nathanael, had seen Jesus. And his question, how do you know who I am, is one that we could each reflect on for quite some time if we chose to do so. How, God, do you know me? It's a knowledge which goes beyond anything that we can understand as human beings. It's a knowledge which recognizes loves and gives life to things in ourselves which we don't yet know about. The knowledge of God calls us out of the very depths of our being. The knowledge of God calls us in a way that we can't always know or work out for ourselves. But in hearing and accepting God's call on our lives, we become transformed. We become a people who are equipped for mission. So does anything good come out of Nazareth? People could even ask the same question, does anything good come out of Chesterton? Well, actually, I believe it does. I believe very good things can come out of this church if we are listening to God's call on our lives, and if we're responding to that call. Sometimes it will take us into places we don't always want to go to. Sometimes we'll find ourselves struggling, kind of paddling, or doggy paddling, and not getting anywhere. But God is faithful. God calls us, and we have to respond to that call. So can anything good come out of Holy Trinity Chesterton? Yes, of course it can. But as long as we're faithful. And so much of life around us can feel that we're being thrown into disarray, that we're left doing that doggy paddle sometimes. And yes, we're going to have times of doubt. We're even going to be cynical for quite a lot of the time when God calls us. Yet those two different calls, both of Nathaniel and Samuel, remind us that whoever we are and however we're feeling, God is going to call us. And sometimes we've just got to be patient. We have just got to sit there and keep praying, keep being faithful, and waiting to hear what that call on our lives is going to be. But we could just be encouraged in those times where we're waiting by just thinking of those three words, come and see. Come and be invited into that wonderful relationship with Jesus. Come and let that relationship fill your lives. Come and let that relationship with Jesus allow us as a community to do wonderful things together. We don't know how the call is going to come about. We could be feeling weak when it comes. We could be feeling really bouncy and joyful. But we've also got to play our part in helping other people to hear, understand, and be encouraged when God calls on them. And what an amazing privilege that is, to be joining with God in this way. If we're leading other people to Jesus, if we're supporting and encouraging them, what a wonderful thing that is, it is that we're able to do. And the way we treat ourselves and the conversations that we have with other people really do matter. We live in relationships with other people. Human beings are called to be in relationships, either with a partner, with a community, with a group of friends, people we work with, people we speak to, even the different clubs and societies we might belong to. All of those are different relationships, and all of those are opportunities. We could be that first step in helping somebody else become established and grow in their faith. We could be that first step, the beginning of that relationship with Jesus. So we have to keep in touch, both with God, but also with one another. How's it going? What's your relationship with like? How are you feeling today? Has God said anything to you recently? Share our faith and share news of our faith. And quite often lives can be filled with all these random sorts of encounters with people that we've never met before. I was reading something earlier this week by one commentator who remarked that when he got to know the names of the people who worked in the shops where he did his shopping, he began to enter into their lives in a completely different way. And as well, it worked vice versa, because these people did the same in this particular person's life. So to be part of the body of Christ, or to be part of the church, is to be a part of creating that kind of community in which we are going to stay with one another. We're going to develop those deeper relationships, and those relationships will go beyond any sense of division that we might try and throw up. So Jesus bids with the words, come and see. It's an offer to enter into an ever deepening relationship, both with God, but also with one another as well. It's a relationship that doesn't depend whether we believe or how much we believe. It depends rather on our being willing just to stay and to abide there, to remain there with Jesus. To stay a while, sit down like those disciples did in the afternoon, sit at the feet of Rabbi Jesus and just listen and learn from him. Jesus isn't going to be offering us any of the easy answers, but instead he's bidding us come on a journey. Come and see. Come and be excited. Come and be changed and transformed. Come on a journey into the heart of our faith. Go into the heart of yourself. That's where we encounter Christ, who is already abiding in each one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.